We're in the middle of the Sviras Omer, Lagba Omer is coming up, so we started discussing last week, we'll do Chazara, since only Elie was here, Chazara for him, is in terms of Mitzvah Bet Adam L'Chaveiro, we were contrasting the differences between Mitzvah Bet Adam L'Machom and Mitzvah Bet Adam L'Chaveiro. So we all know, and the Aseret had Dibros, if the Aseret had Dibros, not the Aseret had Mitzvahs. There's 600 in the Taryag Mitzvahs. It says Aseret had Dibros, there are 10 principles. So the Ramban and others explain why was the Aseret had Dibros given on the Shnei Luchos, why not on one Lucho, one Luach, why not 10 Luchos? Why was it given on two luchos? Right, and also to show that because there's two corresponding, two different categories of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs ba'alam l'makom, and mitzvahs ba'alam l'chaveiro. So the first five are mitzvahs ba'alam l'makom, and the second five are mitzvahs ba'alam l'chaveiro. And that's Anochi Hashem, Avodah Zarah, and the second half is not to murder, steal, etc. So at first glance, Kibud Av V'Em seems to be on the wrong side. Because parents are people, and yet it's on number five. So the Gemara in Kedushin tells us there are really three creators. Mommy, Daddy, and God. So therefore, the first five are commandments to our Creator. Our parents are creators. So as the Minchas Chinuch points out, Kibud Av V'Em is one of the unique mitzvahs. It is both a mitzvah ben Adam l'makom, as well as a mitzvah ben Adam l'chaveiro. There's a dual aspect. And we'll have to see. So before we get into Kibud Av V'Em directly, first let me just go over, explain my nafka mina. What do I care if it's a mitzvah adam l'makom, a mitzvah, either I have to do it. I'm chayev a mitzvah adam l'makom and adam l'chaveiro. So my nafka mina l'halacha, what's different about a mitzvah, not necessarily Kibud Av V'Em, we'll come back to Kibud Av V'Em, but what's in general, what's the difference between a mitzvah Bet Adam L'Makom and a Mitzvah Adam L'Chaveiro. What's a nafka mina between the two?
Tshuva.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Like you have to ask someone.
Right, so very good. So one nafka mina is the Mishnah Yuma, Daf Pehe, that we know Tshuva, Hakara Sachet, Charata, etc., Kabbalah Asid, Vidoy, etc., whatever you need for Tshuva. However, it's between you and God. It's a private affair. It's betzina. No reason to publicize your averus to anyone else. You and God work out your own arrangement. Masha Ein King, let's say I go over and speak lashon hara about someone, curse the person, punch him in the face. So I'll say, God, forgive me for punching Asi. What do you mean? He'll say, well, he can't forgive me. Maybe he could. He says, he can't forgive me. He says, you got to speak to Asi. As the Mishnah says in Yuma, you have to go to your friend and ask him for forgiveness. So maybe if you embarrass someone publicly, maybe it would entail even asking mechila publicly, but let's put that aside for a minute. But if you offended someone else, it's not enough just to think about it in your heart and think and regret it and do all those things. You have to actually go over to the person and tell them that you're sorry for what you did. In fact, so therefore, tshuva is betzina ben adam l'makom. But you have to go to your friend, and how do we know that's true? Because the Gemara says in Yuma that when one of the butcher, I'm not talking about either Mike, I'm not talking about Glogal or all the Zions now, I'm talking about someone like Mike Zion Butcher. There's a case in the Gemara Yuma where a butcher offended Rav. He insulted him, he did something, so it was cutting close to Yom Kippur, he never asked Rav for mechila. So Rav went over to the butcher shop. On his way, one of the rabbis said, don't go over because you're going to make it worse. This guy's very stubborn. He's an auction, and he's not going to ask you. So he ended up going in and asked for mechila, and like a bone came, and the guy could have died. But either that's not important to us here. The point being is that Rav went over because he wanted the guy to be able to ask him for forgiveness. So apparently, what do we see from here? Rav, I would assume Rav forgave the guy. Rav, I'm sure he was mochulam. So why, if he was mochulam, why did he find it necessary to go over and ask him for mechila? In fact, that's what many poskim write. Even if you know someone forgave you, Let's say he says the Ribbono Shel Olam at night of Kriya Shema Lamita. So you still have a chiyuv to ask Mechila. What's pshat? As long as the end result's there, if you know a person forgave you, what does it make any sense to ask for Mechila? And secondly, the poskim raise is the Achronim talk about it. The Pri Chadash brings down different shittas about whether you have to ask Mechila yourself, or can I send a third party? Like by Shalach Manas, they discussed it. Shalach Manas, is it more of a covet to give it yourself, or send it with a third party? But yes, on the other end, are you allowed to send? So he quotes different shittas. Whether you're allowed to give it to a third, whether you can do it to a third party. Some say yes, some say no. But what's the issue? Why can't you? If the point is to get forgiven, what's the difference if I ask you or someone else asks you? And the Mishnah Berurah has a compromise. He says, it depends. If the guy is going to get more upset by seeing you, then send a third party. But if you think you could speak to him, then it's better to go yourself. What's this whole discussion? When the guy forgave you, what's the difference how he forgives you? As long as he forgives you, what's the difference if I send my brother, sister, or some stranger, I go myself? And thirdly, they point out, is in terms of the question of, there's an interesting machlokas Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the Chafetz Chaim. So the Rambam writes, so we know the Shulchan Aruch brings down three times, or the post can bring down, you have to ask Mechila three times. It doesn't mean, okay, the Yomochim, you have to, we're going to come at different times. But you have to, so the Rambam writes, Al Yavakesh, Yotem Migimel Pamim. It's usher, or you can't. There's no, it's not meaningful. Don't. Don't ask more than three times. The Torah writes it to Rishus. No Chiyab. What's this? Why can't I ask, what's the difference? Why can't I ask 100 times?
Like, what do you make the God of will?
Well, okay, so you think the three is the, up to three, you're saying
you
it's
know,
not.
Maybe, it's also when you ask when someone asks you to go up to the chazan. So you don't tell, you're supposed to say no at the beginning. I know it definitely, but, like, you know, you're not running to have
right, right, that's, yeah, we'll get that, yeah, that's, so that's the kasha on Mechila. So number one is, it seems like a very simple halacha. You insult someone, you ask for Mechila. End the discussion. Then they go, but if you, even if he forgives you, you have to ask for Mechila, and even...
Not more than three times.
And going to a third. What's this all about? And also, there's a famous machloket of Yisrael Salant in the Chafetz Chaim about, let's say you insulted somebody, so now you have to, so you go over and ask them for Mechila. So if he's mocho you without asking any questions, great. What am I doing to me, Mechila? What did you say about me? So do you have to tell him? You tell him he's a jerk, he's a loser, whatever you said about him. So the Chafetz Chaim says yes.
No, he says just if he would not be insulted again. But if you know that he would be insulted again, so you're not allowed to say that.
Chafetz Chaim says yes, what do you mean?
Okay.
The Chafetz Chaim, so I'll get to
it.
You'll be hurting him.
That's what he says a lot of times, and we'll get to that. But the Chafetz Chaim writes that look it up in his Russian horror book, that he writes, and that's why he says, that's why you'd be very careful what you say now, because you're not going to have any friends left. Because, I'm sure someone who insulted the person is not going to care about whether the Chafetz Chaim says it. But either way, so he says you have to tell him. So he told Salanta once, and the Chafetz Chaim says, that's ridiculous. Like you're saying, it doesn't make any sense. He's saying, because you did one aveira of Lashon Hara, I should insult someone else. Like, what's the connection? So he says, no way. And he said, so Mr. Bruce says, I agree with you in Svarah, but what do you want? I'm not saying it on my own. It's Rabbi Yonin Shari Tshuva who's saying it. I'm just quoting Rabbi Yonin. The Chafetz Chaim is saying to Yisrael Salanta, he said, what doesn't make any sense? He said, what do you want from me? It's Rabbi Yonah in the Shari Tshuva. So if you look up Rabbi Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, you can decide for yourself if Rabbi Yonah actually says it as strong as the Chafetz Chaim. The simple reading of Rabbi Yonah, he doesn't say it as strong as the Chafetz Chaim says it. But what's this, so that's what Yisrael Salanta doesn't make any sense. So, because So Rav Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchak in many places, by Yom Kippur, other places, he explains the issue of Mechile. What's this three times doing it even after he forgave you? What's the reason why you have to ask Mechile? So we have a mitzvah in the Torah, we just read, V'yahavta u'reyacha kamocha. So simple pshuto means, I have to love you like I love myself. That's it. But he says, of course it means that, but in addition to that, there's another meaning. That not only do you have to love someone else like you love yourself, but you have a mitzvah to make yourself loved. You have to be an ahav. You have to be a likable person. You have to be a lovable person. In other words, by you causing someone not to like you, that's a chisarit in your hafter. Besides his, it's your own. You're lacking in your own. If some people can't like, I don't mean someone who's crazy, a meshuggah, that's, you know, some, they don't like you for the wrong reason. That's, you know, they don't like you because you're religious. That's okay, so you don't have to, they don't like you because you keep Shabbos, so you can still keep being Shabbos. I'm saying it's a normal reason, you know, something which halakha considers a legitimate taina, or as the Rav Huttner writes, you're giving them a heter tarumus. That by you, if you wrong somebody, you don't ask for mechila, you're giving them a reason not to like you, and that's a chisara of yahavta u'reyacha kamocha. So he says that's why the lach is three times. You give this person three times, you give him a chance to take away the heter tarumus. After that becomes his problem. He doesn't want to forgive you. That you can, all your vakeish to rabbis. That's it. The only purpose of asking for mechila is to remove the heter taruma so you can fulfill the ahavta recha kamocha. And that's why even if the person forgave you, so what? As they say, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. In other words, you can forgive someone, but until you go and ask mechila, he still has a taina. No, why didn't he come over? I forgive him, but he never came. You know, people are they like claiming. I don't really care, but it's the principle involved, one of those stories.
One of the kinds of the kind of titol shmiyah. So you keep him still in your heart, they're still mad at him.
Right, that's why, like the Rabban writes, where they discuss by tochacha, that mochiach tachicha zamisecha. But a lot of times, if someone, well, tina chicha b'lavacha, you know, if you keep it in your heart, then you'll never be able to. You have to let it out, as it depends when, right? But that's what Rav Huttner explains. The reason why there's a halacha of asking for mechila, it's not for the end result, that already happened. The guy was mochel you, but it's for you. You have to fulfill, you're lacking in the ahavta recha kamocha. You must make yourself, mesaken yourself into someone who's, everyone, you're considered an ahav among the brios. So that's why you have to ask mechila. And that's why Dafka, some say, you have to go yourself. It's all part of the dinner. The end result is they are ready to, out that reason, you don't have to do anything. You're already forgiven. But the other reason, out, we have to reicha kamocha to take away the heter tarumas. So that's why we saw Salanta's taina. If the whole reason he has mechila is to take away the heter tarumas, here you're going to make your guy even hated more. If a guy doesn't know you said anything about him, you know, so he discusses then what do you do then? So maybe you do something, a tikkun something, but tzibur, and that person's involved in that tzibur, so he's getting, you know, he gets different aitzes of Bali, the poskim and the Bali Musa give what you should do. But then if that's the case, then how do you ever ask get mechila then? If I can't ask the guy for mechila, so then they give different ways to, and the more is like, don't ask, when a common guy asks you for mechila, don't ask him what he said about you. So that's one difference is that tshuva. Tshuva is a public affair.
But it's a problem because usually when you come and someone comes to you and asks you for mechila, and he's like, what? I want, most people want to get something out of it. They're saying yes. It's usually a two-way deal. So everyone will ask. It's hard not to ask.
From which angle they want to know?
Why are you asking for mechila? Let's say someone's coming to you. Asking for mechila.
Right.
Most people will ask why.
Right.
They want to get something out of it. It's like an exchange.
What do you mean, you want to get
it? Exchange information. Like, you want something from me.
Yeah, but you're not saying halachically speaking. You're
right.
Saying socially speaking. Yeah. No, right, no. If everyone wants to get some dirt and stuff. Yeah. That's human nature. Right. But what we want to do and what we should do are different things. Right, so it depends, you know, it's not, you know, and obviously it depends on who, your relationship with the person, and you could sense if the person's uncomfortable asking. It takes a lot of gvura that's probably going over and asking mechila.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take even more if you have to tell them what you said. And I guess it depends also what you said.
Most people want to go to mechila.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you said, like, I'm too cute, or my hair's too straight, you know, I'll be able to get over it better. But if you're saying other things, it might be harder. But either way, so that's one difference. One nafka mina is tshuva. What's another nafka mina? Between ben adam l'maka ben adam l'chaveiro?
Mechila.
Right, what else?
Mechila is tshuva.
Oh no, mechila, you know, right? What do you mean by mechila?
Mechila that ben adam l'chaveiro, you have to ask mechila if you made a sin or something like that.
But mechila, I'll say yes to mechila, and I'll explain what he means. Is a mitzvah nitai l'machila. In other words, right, you know what? Shabbos, now I don't want to keep, I'm mochel this week, I'm not going to keep Shabbos. Or tefillin today, I'm mochel. So actually, when it comes to mitzvahs, l'adam l'makom, they're not nitai l'machila. You got to be the balabas to have a possibility to be mochel. What about mitzvahs that adam l'chaveiro? Are they nitan or mechila? Because we know the Gemara says in different places that an av can be mochla with kavod, or a rebbe can be mochla.
It's different kavod.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Because kavod is something that you're passive. You're not doing any action. For example, on Shabbat, you have to do an action actually to limchol on Shabbat. You have to not keep Shabbat.
No, it depends. You don't fulfill the Shabbat, so there's a mitzvah that day also.
But asses, let's not...
No, right. If you just lie in bed all day, you wouldn't be a machal Shabbat, right. But you wouldn't necessarily kept Shabbat appropriately either, right? For a low sasse, you have to involve an action.
Yeah.
Right. But that for not the asse of Shabbat.
Most kibbud avayim is asse. Most of the kibbud avayim chavero is not tzach. It's shevel tase.
Right. So, but what you're saying, so when it comes to... So what do you
mean? But then, ben adam chavero, it's a lot of, it's more dependent on the other person than you.
No, I know, I'm saying can that other person, could I be mocho on my mitzvah? It's not dependent on Elisheva, it depends on me. If I want to be mocho, it's a decision I have to make, but I'm saying, am I allowed to? I'm saying I can't be mochel on mitzvah and l'makom. Can I be mochel on kiv? So from here, from the fact that we see mechila works by kiv avayim, that would be a raya that kiv avayim is a mitzvah ben adam. Right, because we said a mitzvah ben adam l'makom isn't nitan l'mechila. A mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro is. So if you hold it to mitzvah ben adam l'makom, so how do you deal with this gemara? So the Yerushalmi says again. It's another definition, what's considered mechila, what's considered kavod. The rush of the Yerushalmi is, Ritzon el shel Adam, he kavodo. That, so we were assuming, let's say you go up to your father, here, I want to take a drink of water. And I say, no. So we assume that's mechila, I'm being mochel, I'm kibud avayim. Yerushalmi says, no, it's not mechila. That is, the ultimate kibud avayim is, doing the wishes of that person. So when he says, no, I don't want, it's not that he's not being mocha kibud avayim, that's gufa doing kibud avayim. So
they're sitting in the seat, it isn't mechila. You're sitting in your father's seat.
No, the pasha, no, right, pasha, that's what we assume, it's mechila. The Yerushalmi is saying it's not. The Yerushalmi is saying is, but you know, that could be different. Sitting in your seat can be mora of, I'm saying the different, right. There's a mitzvah, right, that's the different parts also, kibud avayim, there's the kiva and there's the mora. The mora mm-hmm. means that's like the losa says. So you have that. He's talking about the kiva aspect, but try it. By mora could be different. But by the kiva, but let's say you have a chiv to, let's say your father wants a drink, you have to give it to him. So if he asks to get me a cup of Coke, so you get it. Let's say he doesn't ask and you bring him over and he's not thirsty. No, thank God, I don't want. He's not being mocha on his cover. He's just, that is, by taking away the coke, making him drink something he doesn't want, isn't kivud avim. So therefore, that's how you. So therefore, wouldn't that's how the Yerushalmi would answer. It's not. Like, it wouldn't be. Therefore, the bottom line is mechila works by kivud avim, and it wouldn't be a raya to tell us about. But not a mumaka, but a mechavero.
For example, the action of Rabbi Tarfon when he used to put his hands on the floor for his mother.
Right.
So, but she used to hit him. So they say in the Gemara that she was crazy, but maybe it wasn't with the van because she wanted something else.
No, but the question is not that. No, but that was the point. The Gemara said she was, you know, she was seen all crazy, but she didn't know what she was doing. But Echanami, you're right. If you you know if your parents walking and whatever it is, and you start putting it here and they don't want it, then you're right. Then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. Certainly, according to Yerushalmi, that's kibud avim. You know, then that'd be always the question mark. Would that be a bizarre or not? Like your father walking in the mud. You know, whatever. Right. But clearly, that was the reason why. The reason why, because she was mashuga. That's the reason why. It wasn't because you know she didn't. She was like a shoseh. So it wasn't like. So do we see that even if I don't know if she was a shoseh. But do we see that even if do we see kivud avim applies even if you're, you know, that would be maybe not for your mizman hazeh, let's say Alzheimer's, but you don't even know who you are. But nevertheless, we see there's still a mitzvah that gets in because there's a kivud avim is obviously from your aspect also. Else the father or mother who's demented, they don't even know who you are anymore. But nevertheless, you still have a chiyuv kivud avim because it's
what if they tell you to leave the room, like, in a way it's...
No, right.
The only person that's coming to visit them all month, and you're coming to visit them, they tell you to leave the room, so...
No, it just depends. That you have to, that you have to speak to, you know, doctors, and you have to know if they know what they're saying. But if you know they meant it, then you would have to. I mean, you know, assuming they weren't crazy, you know, you have to respect their wishes.
It's that time, I don't know.
What?
The Alzheimer, they usually, when they see someone, they're usually very afraid of what's going on around them.
Okay, that's correct. That's something else. That then it gets into the issue of how do you relate to an Alzheimer patient in general, and then the prat, how do you deal with a parent? Right. So that's where you have to know, you have to know the general procedures, how it works with, you know, Alzheimer's, and then, you know, to see whether a parent's any different or not, depending on what the issues are. So that's why the issue of what about someone saying, you know what, come over here and hit me. Could a person be mocho? Basically, could you be a boxer? Presumably a boxer is mocho that the other person could hit him. Are you right? He's not mocho about biting his ear off.
He doesn't want to get hit. Like, the one way... He's putting himself inside a situation that he can get hit, but he doesn't want to get hit.
Right, but if you know, right, but doesn't... Right, assuming they signed the mechila papers, but that's the working assumption. If you walk into a boxing rink, you're going to get hit. That doesn't mean you're going to lose the fight, but you're going But definitely someone's going to be... That's the whole game, boxing, if someone's trying to punch you in the face or whatever. So obviously you don't get in the ring then, but in the ring. But either way, so the assumption is you're going to get punched. As I said, biting your ear off, that's not the assumption. You're definitely not mocho on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So what is the story? Can you become a boxer? Could a Jew become a boxer? So there's a famous tshuva.
Harav Halperin.
Who?
Harav Halperin.
Yeah?
You heard about him? He's a famous rabbi.
In Israel? Or in the States?
Harav Halperin.
I'm saying he was a boxer where?
He was a boxer.
In Israel?
No, I'll tell you.
Where?
He was the representative of Israel, but I think it was in Chutzlatz. I'm not sure, but he was the boss.
So he must have passed in. He must have passed in. Yes, we'll see. So what's the issue at hand? Because we know there was a story with Micha and Chaveru. I don't know who the friend was, but. Micha told the Chavir to hit me, hit the Navi, and of course, you know, he didn't want to.
Yeah, because of the Korban or something.
Yeah, so he said...
He was punished.
Yeah, so he said, because you didn't listen, there's a mitzvah to listen to a Navi, because you didn't listen to me, when you go out, a lion's going to eat you up. And of course, he was killed. So, but the point being is, Micha is like Eliyahu b'Har Carmel. Ah, how could you listen to a Navi if it's against the halacha? How could they listen to Eliyahu b'Har Carmel? Because the Gemara says it's chazik. He said, that's a chazaka. If it's a rookie, then you wouldn't necessarily have to listen to him. If he hasn't proved himself, then, you know. So what's the pshat in that story? Is it pshat that really is an issa deraisa to punch? Forget about the Navi. Someone says, hit me. There's a biblical prohibition to hit the person. Except here, the Navi's saying, it's Ratzon Hashem that you hit me here. Is that what Micha, is that why he was punished? What?
The first one doing it. It's hard to do, but...
No, right, but or is that the pshat? Or Yesh Lachkor, is that the pshat? That really is this a deraisa, normally, but here it's Ratzon Hashem, so you should do it. Is that why it was punished or no? Really, there's no iser. Really, even if it wasn't Micha, that the halacha is that if someone gives you rishus to be mochel, you're allowed to be mochel. Which one is it? Could a regular, the nafka mina, could you go into a boxing ring? Could I be mochel, could I be mochel and say someone hit me? Or could you be mochel and someone hit me? Is that the halacha or not? So, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Igris Moshe has two tshuvas about it. You would think two tshuvas coming with the same conclusion. But the two tshuvas that come to different conclusions, which makes them more problematic. But he quotes the case, so in Choshen Mishpat he writes, he quotes the case with Micha, he goes through the Gemara in Sanhedrin, about, with Eliyahu, he said, why didn't the Gemara give the case of, if the Gemara wanted to prove that you could listen to a Navi, even when he tells you to do an Aveira, it should have gave the example of Micha. It gave the example of Eliyahu, but then there was no Isser. Rav Moshe's shita is that if someone's mochel, he has the right to be mochel, and there's no issue. Once I'm mochel, a person's allowed to hit me. Once he has permission.
How could you order someone to hit him? How could you order someone to hit him?
Someone, Micha, you mean, or a general person?
He could be the mochel that he won't be allowed to hit him. How could he order someone to hit him?
You mean a regular person?
Yeah.
How could
Micha order him?
No, I thought, what are you giving him permission to?
Because he didn't, so he killed him.
Why? But in the case of Micha, you're asking.
Yeah, how could he order someone to hit him?
Why? What's the problem? He says it's Ratzon Hashem.
But
you have to go. There's a mid. No, it's only because he was a Navi, right? Navi. I agree, it's difficult. I would have a problem also. It's like, the Navi says, hit your father. Somebody's saying, no. Okay. Right, so it's not a logical thing, right? I'm saying, if you know it's a Navi, and that means, but he's. We have to rise above our emotions. It would be very difficult to do, but if you know he's a Navi and it's his chazik, then that's Ratzon Hashem. You have to do it. Even Avraham by a case, it's just, whatever I'm saying is, no, I'm not saying it's an I'm not saying, I understand why Micha's friend didn't hit him, but, and it seems like a very strict penalty, but what could I do? I'm just reading the story. Mm-hmm. I'm just going back. I understand, it would be hard. What I'm saying is, but what could you do? If that's Ratzon Hashem, we have no choice. You got to do it. So Rav Moshe writes, it wasn't a special halacha by Micha. It's anyone's allowed to. If someone gives you permission to hit him, you're allowed to. And he brings a raya from the Rambam. The only time it's usher to be chovel is as long as it's derech bizayon or derech nitzachon. If you're doing it, in a confrontation, maybe boxing, fighting, that's supposed to be a fun game. But either way, as long as it's not derech bizayon, if you're not doing it in that's the lashon haRambam.
You can't hit him on the floor.
Yeah, whatever. Or you can't hit him under the belt, whatever the case is. But bottom line is, Rav Moshe writes in Choshen Mishpat, it's mutter. You're allowed to be mochel, and you can get punched in the face if you want. So if you're thinking about getting hit anytime, that's Rav Moshe in Choshen Mishpat. But Rav Moshe in Orach Chaim, I wonder which one he wrote first. But Rav Moshe writes in Orach Chaim, it's usher. It's the only reason Micha was allowed is because Micha was his chazik. In other words, really, it's chazik, chazaka. The Micha has a chazaka being enough. Really, it's a deraisa to hit someone even if he gives you permission. But the only reason why Micha he was punished because he should have listened to Micha, because Micha had a chazaka being a navi. So according to Rav Moshe, a regular person can't be mochel. That's it. It's an Issa Deraisa. And therefore, as the Gemara says, even with permission, because the Gemara says in Baba Kama, it's also to be chovel biatzmo. So logically, one would dictate, if it's also to be chovel yourself, if I can't be mocho my own chavala, well, I'm mocho, let me cut off my finger. We don't find you're allowed to do that. So if you can't be mocho chovel biatzmo, so logically it makes sense to me, so how could you be mocho someone else doing a chabura? But that's the apparent contradiction in the Igris Moshe. So who do we paskin like? The Igris Moshe or the Igris Moshe? Do we paskin
like? I like the Igris Moshe.
You go with the Igris Moshe? Okay. So I guess it's decided then. So Rav Zevin, in the Or LaHalacha, when did we do the Or LaHalacha? We did a shtick on it a couple of months ago. I don't know who was.
What's the shtick?
A shtickle Torah, a piece. Shtickle, is that Yiddish?
Not English or Hebrew.
There must be Yiddish. A shtick, like, you know, give me a shtickle Mazonia, a piece of cake, or a piece, or a shtickle Torah, they all say. I mean, a shtickle, you know, a piece of Torah, meaning like, yeah, or a more, right, but a shtickle, not like, you know, a shtickle Torah means usually more lumdis or something, as opposed to, right, as opposed to, you know, it's like, you know, like the Shalosh Shittas Torah or something like that. So either way, so we did a shtickle in the Rav Shlomo Zevin in the Or LaHalacha. I'm not sure when, it was on a piece on Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Remember we did about, I don't know, maybe all you were in here, I don't know, we did about 7 or 8 Machlokes and we showed how Beis Hillel Beis Shammai L'shitason. If you don't remember, just open up the Or LaHalacha and look it up again. But in that same Sefer, the Or LaHalacha, he writes another shtickle. It's called Mishpat Shylock. You know who Shylock was?
Shylock.
It's a name.
It's
a name. It's something that had to do with Shakespeare. Which book?
The Merchant of Venice.
That's it. He knows the Shakespeare. So, The Merchant of Venice is one of the famous books. In most high schools, they make it mandatory reading.
They usually don't learn Shakespeare.
Right. So The Merchant of Venice, there's only one Jew in the book, and that's Shylock, and he's a money lender. Right, you know, because that's a picture of Jews, you know, with all the money, you know, that's where you get all the... You know, that's the whole discussion, whether Shakespeare was an anti-Semite or not. Speak to Sam Eisenstadt. You know who he is? Sam Eisenstadt. You know him by face. He comes to shul. He's a professor in...
Oh, I know who he is. He taught Plato, right?
He's a professor in...
He's Plato in the Midrashah.
Oh, that's him, yeah.
So
his expertise is Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So I think he once gave a speech. I wasn't there. But he once, that was the topic once, whether Shakespeare, you know, because Shylock it seems to portray in a bad way, so the question is, either way, so that's not for, so you have to speak to Sam, I don't know, but we have a chazaka, each of Sone is Yaakov, so I go with yes, right? I mean, the chazaka is you are, unless I'm not my own chiddush, isn't that the way it works?
Mm-hmm.
You assume yes unless proven otherwise. But either way, so it goes like this, so he writes, so what's the case of the Merchant of Venice where someone goes to him and says, you know, you lend money, he says, and if you can't pay, if let's say you borrowed $100, and if you can't pay back, a pound of flesh, you have to like cut off you got to cut off some, you know, cut off an arm, you know, that's if you can't make the money. So the shaila is, so of course, if you want to know what happened in Shakespeare, you can read the book. But what Rav Zevin talks about is, let's say they went to a Beis Din. They went to a Beis Din, and now he can't pay back. He says, okay. And the guy says, okay, cut off my arm. If the person doesn't want it, then of course it's Aser Min HaTorah. If a person can't pay back his loan, you can't cut off his arm. But let's say a person says he wants it, he's mocho.
Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he's a soldier. One of the tests was to gather his thumbs off.
And
they need a mechila there, no? You know what I'm talking about?
Which case?
Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai?
That That what?
No, it's, sorry, Bar Kokhba. One of his tests for the soldiers.
To what, to show that they're loyal to him?
To cut their thumbs off.
Oh, their thumbs?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how you knew he was a Navi Shekhar, you mean? I mean, a false Mashiach?
No, no, no. You don't understand?
Is that what, in the Gemara?
Yeah. I think it's the Gemara.
And then, what, then they said he
or,
had...
Or to cut off a tree when they...
No, remember, I don't remember the details I'm saying after, but either way, it would be the same thing. So, what is he allowed to, if he went to Beis Din, Mishpat Shylock, would he be, so assuming he wants to, obviously if he doesn't want to, you would be usher. Let's say he's Mocho, could he be Mocho? So Rav Zevin, in his Or LaHalacha, he goes on to explain, so he quotes, he's a Shtickel Lubavitch, Rav Zevin, many people don't know, he quotes Lubavitch or Rebbe a lot. I'm saying that neutral. Some people might take it as a positive, some as a negative. But he quotes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav on the Shaila. What does he say? Usher even with permission. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav paskins like Rav Moshe. It's usher even with permission. Right? The second Shuvah in Rav Moshe anyway. And the Minchas Chinuch... And the Minchas Chinuch also paskins like Rav Moshe. But the one in Kosher Mishpat, he says it's mutter for someone to give permission. But he says, but he quotes and he says that you know it was Rishus. He says there's no Gemara. He says he has no Gemara beferish, but it seems logical that if a person gives permission, he's allowed to, because he quotes the Gemara in Baba Kama that if you give that if you he quotes the Gemara about if you cause damage to someone and by a Russia, you might not have to pay. So he has a different, I forgot the exact Gemara, it's on Talmud Gimel, where he, so the Minchas Chinuch has a Gemara, he said there's no explicit Gemara, but he thinks that one is permitted. So, because the Gemara over there says you're putter, so he learns the Gemara putter and mutter, by a case where a similar case, I forgot the exact case, but it has to do with someone, what we're talking about. And obviously the Shulchan Aruch HaRav would learn Pater HaBalatzer. But either way, so the Shulchan Aruch HaRav passes like Rav Moshe, and the Minchas Chinuch passes like Rav Moshe. So we're all set. So who do we passkin like? Rav Moshe or Rav Moshe? So the Shita Mekubetet on the Minchas Chinuch, he writes, he quotes in the Tshuva Tarivash, that, and so the Tshuva Tarivash holds that it's usher, but the Maral Bachos, it's mutter. So therefore, it's a big shaila, you know, la halacha, you know, how we paskin. When they discuss the shaila, comes up by elective surgery.
Elections, it's one, it has one vote.
Exactly. You have elective surgery, you want elective surgery, like elections? You know, there's a mandatory surgery means you need it. If you don't have the surgery,
yeah,
something's gonna, you know, it's a sakana, something like you need it. Elective surgery means you don't have to have it. Let's say cosmetic surgery. Let's say you want a
tonsil.
Yeah, whatever. Something which maybe, I guess it's also a question, what's the definition of elective surgery? Meaning, does it mean it's still, everyone agrees it's beneficial, what the risk reward is, but you don't, let's say, elective surgery. So, cosmetic surgery, you want to have a nose job, or you want to, like, change your face and stuff.
Eye surgery.
Oh, are you ready? Well, what do you want it? Because you to see better?
Yeah, see better.
Instead of glasses, you mean? Yeah. So, you know, different, right. So today you have many cases. So what's the story with the elective surgery? Is it butcher? Because that's basically what you're doing. You're being chovel, you're giving someone permission to be chovel you. Or even a more basic case, the splinter. Because you get someone to take the splinter out.
Good.
What? Splinter, you know, let's say on wood, just get a cut, right? Actually reminds me of someone came into Israel and they were asking for, they wanted a needle, but not a needle like, but something which has holes on both sides. Maybe it has holes on, maybe it's sharp on both sides, right? So he went in, so he knew English, the guy only knew Hebrew. So he got done, so he said he wanted, you know, he got done, you know, so he looked it up in, he looked up, maybe it was a machat, a machatan, what's the needle, is what?
Machat.
So he said, oh, no, the machat, he says, no, he says, so the guy says, no, I want one that stucks on both sides. You know, it's point. He says, oh, you mean machatanim, you mean? Not a machatanim. No, you have to be married to get the joke.
Yeah.
They stuck on both sides. The needle's just on one side. But either way, okay, so the getting back to here, so there are two, so what about elective surgery? That's what you're actually doing. You're giving permission for someone to go ahead. So obviously in general, you have to always weigh the risk-reward, how much danger you're taking versus how much reward you're getting. So I guess it depends how ugly you are. No, so it depends on other issues. So, but either way, so that's it. So Rav Moshe writes, Rav Moshe has another tshuva. He says, when he talks about elective, he says, as long, he quotes the Rambam, it's mutter. As long as it's not derech bizayon. You're doing it for constructive purposes, not destructive purposes. That's what, again, the different shittas among the poskim, but, you know, many poskim today are mako, and the Rav Moshe is mako when it comes to anything for medicinal purposes, because it's not derech bizayon. But, you know, the stam, to do it just for the recreation, that's a different question. Where it comes up also is we know there's an issue, besides the issue of being chovel someone else, there's an issue of maka over the imo. In addition, there's a separate issue of maka anybody, as the Torah calls you a rasha, just for lifting your hand, forget about hitting the person. But there's another issue of maka over the imo, mos yumas, right, by mitzvah parsha. Maka avivimo, mosimas, isn't it mishpatim? Now you know why I'm retired. So, well, the makam she'ein ish is the only time I lay when there's no one else. So the question is, so maka avivimo. So according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav, you don't have to come on to maka avivimo. It's us or anyway. Anyone you can't give. But according to the Minchas Chinuch, who says, you're allowed to give permission. What about a parent giving permission? Or a Rebbe giving permission? Whoever, you know, a special way, you know.
Dentist.
Right. So that's where it comes up. It's very halach l'maisa. Let's say your son's a dentist. Could he do work on daddy? Or he's a doctor. You know, the Gemara talks about even, you know, taking out a splinter. Mm-hmm. You know, because makev, you know, most yumas. We don't take most yumas lightly.
The father put in so much money for his education, why can't he get benefits?
No, exactly. So therefore, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pei Dalet. They talk about, I think it was bloodletting then, hakazastam. So there's bloodletting. That's why, in fact, someone told me, you never know, there's barbershops. They have like those striped things that go in circles. You know, maybe not in Israel, but in outside a bar, they don't see them so much anymore, but it used to be outside a barbershop, there was like a thing that twirled, but either they say that because they used to be blood letters, but either way, so that's why, no, that's why it's a shaila to go to a gayish barber. That's why the heter is that we have mirrors today, because having a, you know, it's a guy holding a knife, you know, and you're not looking, so it's a sakana, Esav Tony Es Yaakov. So that's what we have a head. There is, you know, there's mirrors so you can see and stuff, and other, you know, but it's a Shiloh. You know, we assume a Mako. At least, you know, I'm sure there's some people who go to a Jewish, might be glad they go to a Jewish barber anyway, out of Parnassa. It's always a big, all things being equal, it's better to go to a Jewish doctor, give him the Parnassa, and even if not all things, it's a question of how much more money you should spend even to go to him. But either way, so, what about doing bloodletting? So it talks about, you know, that was also, they used to do bloodletting because it was a health issue in terms of letting it out. And also, Rav didn't allow his son to take out the splinter. So we find that, so the Ramah, so in Simon, I think it's Reish Mem Aleph, let's say a father has a splinter, so it says the son can't remove it. So the post can bring down, it's actually Machlokes Sfardim and Ashkenaz. the Machaber and the Ramah. Let's say there's no one else. That one agrees the son should not do it. If there's someone else, does get someone else to do it. We'll see in a second, you know, whatever, it's a dentist or a splinter. All things being equal, the son, because why get into involved of a shayla of being mak of dam coming out, than being chayiv misa. So, but anyway, the Sfaradim writes it's usher, even if there's no achir. The Ramah writes it's mutter, but if there's no one else but the son, then you're allowed to. And the Ben Ish Chai says even Sfaradim can rely on the Ramah. He doesn't say why over here, but the Ben Ish Chai says even Sfaradim can rely on the Ramah. So obviously it depends also, so the people have different hair on what the question, depends on what type of procedure. In other words, a procedure which is definitely going to be dam, so then there's less of a kula. But some procedures are most of the time, if you're a bucky, you're not going to have blood. So the fact that there will be, you don't necessarily have to be chosher. It's supposed to make differences depending on what exactly you're doing. If it's something which is vadai dam, so then we'll see. Then there's less of a heter. I'm not saying there's no heter, but if there's a procedure where they say there's no one else and it probably won't be dam, much more poskim, you know, ameko. So according to so maka aviv with rishus is so the minchas chinach sheet is well the shulchan acharav says that it's usher even with rishus anybody. The minchas chinach says it's mutter with rishus. What about for a father? So in general we assume you shouldn't do it. It's usher to do something to your father. However, Beleka, anyone else, if there's no one else around, so then we say a son could do it, then depending Svar Yashkaraz or Ben Ishkai, how maker you want to be. The Gesher Achayim, or Tukashinsky, you know, he wrote all these, you know, stuff on Eretz Yisrael. The Gesher Achayim is a book on Avelis, but he also wrote a book on, I forget the name, Mik Kedusha, a whole book on Kedusha, on Eretz Yisrael, and we'll talk. Remind maybe of the quote of on Yom Yerushalayim. He has a shtickle on Yom Yerushalayim on the pshat. Why is a person that if one spouse could force the other spouse to get a divorce if they don't want to live in Eretz Yisrael, even if you don't want to move to Yerushalayim? So he has a shtickle on it. So we have a couple of weeks to Yom Yerushalayim.
About the father.
Right. So, makam sakana is nothing to talk about. Yeah.
What if the father has to have surgery? It's makam sakana, but he won't agree anyone to do besides the son.
No. So they're not.
That's not makam sakana.
Yeah. It's definitely sakana. Now you're raising a question. I'm going to get to. Let's say there are. That's the question. What's the definition of deleka acher?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we'll discuss. Does it mean literally there's no one else there, or no, there's no one the father's going to let, so maybe that's considered right. So the Gesher Chaim writes, he talks about an injection where most times you could do it without dam. So he says the father, let's say the father goes to his son and says, I want you to do my cavity or whatever filling, but the Shulchan Aruch says no, your son has to say, go to the competition. The Shulchan Aruch says, I can't do it, you got to go to my competitor. Go to the dentist next door. The father said, no way, he's going to charge me. I'm not going to him. He's going to charge me money. You'll do it free. So the son, right, that's how they can work it. So he says, so therefore the father says, so it's leka achir then. So son shouldn't have, so you know, so then, so he said, I can't go because he goes, go to my competition. But the father says, but wait a second, he's going to make me pay. So, but the luck is, that for Kivud Avayim, what's the halacha? Is it Mishel Av or Mishel Ben? Who has to pay for it? So the halacha is, it's Mishel Av. The son doesn't have to pay. So the son's going to be losing money here by giving up the father. So therefore, so the Rav Tukachinsky wants to write, it's considered like Leka Acher. If going to the competition, if the competition will do it free, as Ozer said, let him do his father's, and it's fine. That's what you should do. But let's say it's leka acher, meaning not that it's not literally leka acher, but to his son will be free, someone else will pay. Rav Tukachinsky wants to suggest that maybe that's also mutter, because that's considered leka acher, therefore it's mutter. However, he says, I want some other people to be maskim to me. You know who he wrote to? The three gedolim during this priest. This is the pre-1948. He wrote to these three gedolim who are living in Israel. Guess which, pre-1948, which three gedolim did he ask this question to? No. Rev Herzog. Rev Svi Pesach Frank. The Mikroi, he became chief rabbi. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He must have been very young at this time.
Yeah.
So imagine what, even then they realized he was one of the Gedolim. So they all, I'm saying it, Derek Escher, but I'd like someone else to be Maskim. And these three Gedolim did two thumbs down on him. They all disagreed. Why, what's wrong with the Svara? Why isn't this considered the Lekha Acher? I mean, it makes sense. He's saying, since I can't, because we have this concept, let's say a Kohen can't be this week's Parsha Zemor. Tumas Kohanim. A Kohen can't be Mitame, right? But Meis Mitzvah, he's allowed to. So, but Meis Mitzvah, the Lekha Acher, if it's someone else, even if there are other people, they won't do it, then it's considered the Lekha Acher. But let's say, for a Nazi, it says, when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died, Ba'u HaKohuna, all the Kohanim went. So, there are 1,000 people, what if there are 1,001? But we see, when it comes to Kohen HaNasi, Lekha, in that case means it's not just a number, everyone has to go. So I'm saying he says it's Lekha Acher, the fact that, the way Rabbi Tukhachansky says, if I have to pay and my son's free, that's considered I'm not paying. That's considered like there's no one else. Why don't they like that svara? So, because why don't they like the svara? Then if the son doesn't, that I don't have to take that out of my own funds. So they say like this. Basically, they say, why is the son doing it? We say out kivud av aim. He doesn't have to lay out money. Right? So in other words, why is he sending him, why is he doing it? Why would the son do it? Let's keep out of him, he's doing it. Why? In other words, what about the son paying for it? So what do we say? I let the son pay for it? But we say, no, it's not the son's job to spend money. So he says, the father says to the son, I need milk for coffee. So the lucky is, you don't have to pay for the milk, but you have to go. It's 2 miles away. I need milk, so you gotta drive over and pick up the milk. The father has to pay for it. He's spending the money, he thinks, so he doesn't have to walk. They want to say he's spending money not to come to the shkagga of the Yisr of Makkah of Avimo. Not because of Kibbutz. In other words, why isn't the son doing it? Because the Kibbutz of Aim is maybe he'll come and do a Chavala. So therefore, he's not doing it out of kibbutz of aim. He's doing it out that he might, the chashash that he might come to. He's giving it over to someone else to do, out of the chashash of that he won't be over. He won't be chayav misa. That's a discussion. Whether that's one can argue whether that's the machlokes. If you assume that's the question whether or not paying is considered the leka acher. You could argue either way. Rav Tukhachansky thought yes, the other three gedolim didn't think so. But halacha l'maisa, so if the money doesn't come, so number one, you have the sheet, the number one, maybe the leka acher, plus you have the seer of the minchas chinah, or you have the seer of Rav Moshe, whichever one you want to take. So So to summarize, so it says, to hit me with Rishus, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says Usher, the Minchas Chinuch says Mutter. If it's not Derek, and if it's not Derek Bizayon, then Rov HaPoskim say it's Mutter. It's only us if it's Derek Bizayon or Derek Nitzachon. What about Maka Aviv? So Rov Poskim, it's Usher, even with permission to do, even with permission to work on your father. And even the Minchas Chinuch says it's Mutter with someone else, but even he agrees, you know, on your father you can't. However, he says that if it's not a case where, so if it's Deleka Acher, if you have Deleka Acher and it's something where it's not normally draw blood, so therefore, you know, most poskim would say it's Mutter. What's just the logic? Why is it that, why should it be that it's usher to give permission? What's the svara of Rav Shulchan Aruch Rav? It's usher. We understand the svara of the Minchas Chinuch. You know, you give permission. But what's the other svara? Why can't you give permission?
Because you're not the only owner of your body.
Exactly. So that's what they point out is, as we said, something to be nitan l'machila, it has to be yours. Like you spoke about, by the Gemara in Sanhedrin about eulogy and kvura. Can a person say, I don't want to be buried, or I don't want to have a eulogy? So we said it depends. If it's covered, the Gemara says, if it's covered achai or covered ames. If it's covered achai, then the mace has no say on the matter. I wouldn't say no say, but he doesn't have the only say. But if it's covered ames, then you have to listen to him. In other words, even if a mitzvah ben chavero, it's only if the person is the baal habat. So the svar is, we all know that, you know, it's not my guf. It says, gufel shel adam eino kinyano. That's the yisachol of yad. It's true, my body belongs to me more than it belongs to anyone else. But it's not mine. It's really a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why, that's the pshat that a person can't be, you know, the same way you can't be chovel yourself, you can't be, you can't get permission. And this to conclude, it's a Sefer HaChassidim. The Sefer HaChassidim has an interesting shiloh where he writes, let's say two brothers are fighting. So, you know, not an uncommon occurrence. Two brothers fighting. You know, it's causing a lot of tsar to daddy. Daddy says, you know what? Instead of hitting your brother, hit me. He's saying it's causing me more tsar to watch you hit your brother. It's less tsar if you hit me. Is a mutter for the son to hit the daddy in that scenario? And he said, you know, he said, I'm mochel you. I'm mochel, hit me. What's the story? Are you allowed to or not?
It's very moral.
He can't stop hitting
his own,
that's it.
Right, but
it's
so... Right, that was just halacha ma'isa ma'paskani. You know, the Sefer HaChidam, at this point, he discusses that shiloh, but he's raising the issue that perhaps says if it's more tsar, because what's the pshat? Because what do we know the essence? Because what's the essence of the person? Is it his goof isn't the essence? Yeah,
the reason he's hitting his brother is there's no Easter here besides kibud avayim ben adam l'chaveron. But the hitting of his father is kibud ben adam l'makom.
No, maybe it's retoro shel adam hi kibudo. According to Yishalmi, it's a mitzvah. Imagine getting a mitzvah of kibud avayim by hitting your father. That's what he wants from me. Right, then you get into whether it's Derek Bizarin, Derek Nitzangra. I'm just pointing out, he raised an interesting shayla. I'm halacha maita, obviously, you know, you can't hit your father. I'm just saying it's the fact that you have to weigh. There's also mental anguish here. In other words, what's the essence of a person? In other words, the physical or the, you know, so it is true. I understand the logic. It's causing more harm to the father. The father's happy. Okay, so hit me. I'll get it. So I might be black and blue for today and forget about it. But the tsar I get, my children fighting, that's causing me more tsar.
It's almost like what Reuven told Yaakov when he said, if I lose Binyamin, you come to my two sons. Like, that won't hurt him?
Exactly. How's that? But, you know, even though he did say, right, what's the pshat? How's that going to help? Right. Mm-hmm. That's how I got to the one with Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the shiloh, whether there's a nafkamina between mitzvahs ben adam l'makom and ben adam l'chaveiro, or what the nitan l'machila. So, But Adam Lamakom certainly is not Nitan Lamachila. But Adam Lachaveiro, we can introduce the question if it, you know, you can. You know, by the Kibra Ve'aim, we know Mechila works. So is that a Raya Be'Adam Lachaveiro? We said not necessarily. We're telling Shal Adam, who Kuvakil Kibudo, like the Yushami. And then we discussed the question whether someone could be give Rishus, you know, since hitting someone else is Be'Adam Lachaveiro, does one have a right to, one be Mocho? You know, that would be part of the Shiloh, right? You got it or not?
Yeah.
You have to go or not? The Bali Musa say even Adi Yad Bechal. You know, they say don't judge your friend, not just to Gilum Komo. So the Bali Musa say Adi Yad Bechal. Even when you're in that place, you're never in this place, because no one ever, even two people look like they're having the same thing happening, it's never the same. Yeah. So I guess we'll continue tomorrow then? Tomorrow you're on or not?
Yeah.
What about tonight, are you on?